Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a deep dive, another Sunday strategy team build session on a team that I actually drafted in 2015. And I chose this team because it was pretty bad to start, and I made a lot of mistakes. And as I made the mistakes, I was able to transition from being what was a pretty subpar dynasty owner to begin with, employing some pretty bad strategies, into a team that has been very successful, two championships last 3 years, with plenty of upside here going forward. So I'll take you through a little bit of how that happened and some of the transitions that I made. You'll see some of the team build mistakes that I've made. And in reality, some of the mistakes from this league are really foundational things for what I believe now. And this is a good learning experience from, hey, you do things wrong and you learn from them. And so a lot of that in this league. So this was a start one quarterback league. That was back when it was still pretty in vogue to do those. And it was one running back, three wide receivers, a tight end was the format. And so I was the 103 position. I took Mike Evans, which actually I'll get to that in a second. Ended up being one of the better first round picks of that draft. I hit Brandon Cooks in the second round, which if you sort of put me on the board of teams, two of the best. I probably had the best top two rounds of anyone in that draft. So hit solid to begin. And then it turns pretty bad. So Jordan Matthews, I think he had one starter season after I drafted him. In the third, TJ Yeldon in the fourth. That was a pretty big miss. I took Breshad Perriman as a rookie in the fifth. That didn't work out. Michael Floyd in the sixth. That was a perennial bust. Ryan Tannehill in the seventh, which was quarterback six, which was a pretty bad disaster. I think that was right after he'd come in. Andrew Luck was the 101 of this draft in the start one. So again, what a time in strategy change that is. So that's what, not more than 5-6 years ago, we're drafting quarterbacks. You know, that is 6 years ago, we're drafting quarterbacks at 101. So pretty stark change from then to now. So again, Tannehill at quarterback six, Bridgewater at 8-10 is quarterback 10. Just a pretty bad disaster in there. Brady, Stafford, Breeze are going after them. Just a pretty big miss there. Again, overvaluing quarterback youth. It was something that I did. Bishop Sankey in the ninth. Tyler Eifert, Eric Ebron in the 10th and 11th. Had Ryan Matthews in the 12th. J.J. 13th. Chris Conley, Sammy Coates, Andre Williams, James White, Jason Morrow, Gus Johnson round out the positions there. So it was a top two and then not much, right? It wasn't a great start. Made some critical errors. So the errors that I made were hot and heavy to start. The Matthews thing, I passed on Allen Robinson, passed on LeSean McCoy, passed on Adams, Keenan Allen, Kelsey, Allen Robinson. So plenty of options there, which would have been just a pretty epic, you know, if you go Evans, Cooks, A-Rob, Evans, Cooks, Adams, that's a pretty epic 1-2-3 there to start. So that's a pretty bad miss. Again, I took Yeldon over Adams in the fourth round. Again, that was pre Adams breakout, but you sort of look back and you regret those, you know. So although I'll say at the time Yeldon kind of projected to be a pretty good running back, two-way ability, and it just never really happened for him. So I don't think the worst process there. You just look back at some of the mistakes and you see how things could have been different. You know, Evans, Cooks, Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams to start, or even Keenan Allen in there too. LeSean McCoy, any of those, like, man, we just would have loved to have that back. So that 3-4 range, that's something that I've consistently come back to, that's a more dangerous zone than we typically give it credit for, and that's a pretty good example there of why. you know, Michael Floyd, again, that's over Latavius Murray, David Johnson, Zach Ertz. And you'll notice in the top 10 rounds, I only took two running backs. So I took two quarterbacks. I took five wide receivers and only two running backs in that top in that top 10 rounds. Of the breakdown of the draft, I took eight wide receivers, seven running backs, three tight ends, and two quarterbacks. Again, it was some pretty bad allocation of rosters, honestly. I could have stopped after the, you know, we'll call it the sixth round there with Michael Floyd, and missed out on Sammy Coates, Chris Conley, and I left out Leonard Hankerson too. I think I didn't mention him earlier. You know, that was what, really low percentage bets. You know, if I got a half a hit there, that would have been a lot from those ranges, from those players. So that was a classic mistake, really overvaluing some of the athletic freaks at wide receiver and just sort of stashing them. That was a mistake. And that was a mistake that I made back then. That's something that's really been rectified now. Giving myself a lot more shots at running back. You know, I passed on Lamar Miller, for example, in that range would have been, and I think he was in like the fifth, sixth, seventh round, somewhere in that range. Passed on him he went running back 5, 19, 16, 22 after that. I mean, just brutal. Brutal misses. There's some, definitely some things that I look back on and really missed on. And so really of the top six rounds, I only hit twice, which is really not a good recipe to start. Again, it's been high floor since then, and I still actually have Evans and Cooks on this team. So those have been very lucrative picks. But after that, just a pretty big gap between those two and anyone really supporting that cast. So I'll just highlight the first round and the second round of this draft because I think it's worth noting. The first round, Andrew Luck, Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Evans, Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Demaryius Thomas, AJ Green, Eddie Lacy, Jamal Charles. So of the guys that are drafted there, Mike Evans and Julio Jones are really the only two that are even close to still being fantasy viable, still being anything close to high-end assets. Evans being the most expensive, Odell Beckham Jr., yeah, we'll see with him, but he's going rounds and rounds after Evans, for example. Then you go into the second round, you get Randall Cobb. Gurley was in there, so that was a successful pick for sure. Calvin Johnson, Melvin Gordon, Alshon Jeffrey, T.Y. Hilton, Jordy Nelson, DeAndre Hopkins, the aforementioned Brandon Cooks, Amari Cooper, Sammy Watkins, and Jeremy Hill. So when you sort of look at that, you get Melvin Gordon, still fantasy relevant now. Gurley was a huge hit in there as well. Obviously Jordy Nelson, I think, had posted a wide receiver one season. You had Hopkins as well, posted wide receiver one season. Cooper, excellent. But, you know, it's a pretty big fall off in terms of some of those other guys as well. Cobb fell off relatively quickly, so did Jeffrey Hilton. We talk about these high end picks as being franchise changing picks. And 6 years later, I might be the only person that's rostering their first two picks in this. And there's been a lot of turnover naturally, but that's a pretty big change. So 2015, I make a couple of free agent acquisitions. Tyler Lockett off the waiver wire at some point, which is pretty nice. Carlos Williams as well, backup running back for the Bills. Flash for a moment in time. And those were two of the big additions that I made. Went 6-7, missed the playoffs. So leading up through that, basically prior to the draft in 2016, I made a couple of trades, and that actually turned out pretty well. Jay Ajayi for 106 was pretty nice. I think that was right around the time Jay Ajayi was signing with, memory serves, it was like Philadelphia. And so he was a big uptick guy, traded him for 106, turned 106 into 206 in a future first. That 106 would have been in the Michael Thomas range of that class. I'm not sure going back who I would have taken, but that was he would have probably been in consideration of that range for sure. So in that 2016 class, I actually went Corey Coleman at 104, Leonte Carew at 204, Jared Goff at 206, and then I had Bruce Ellington actually at 304. So again, going the wide receiver route, and I took the quarterback falling, which ends up helping me a little bit later on, in a future trade I actually end up making. So you know, the wide receiver thing didn't stop, so just keep attacking that wide receiver position, and without really much running back help, it's a pretty suboptimal way to go. So 2016, so I turned Ajayi into 106, then turned 106 into 206 in a future first. In season that year, I actually traded, I gave Terrence West for Mike Davis in a future second, which ended up being nice. I ended up cutting Mike Davis a short time later. I wish I had held him all the way through. That would have been an awesome story, but I didn't. I cut him a short time later. The second ended up being an early second, which I end up having pretty nice luck with. I think it ends up being 204, as a matter of fact. So I'll get to that in a second. So into the 2017 season, I picked up Cameron Meredith. If you remember him back from Chicago time, I took him, traded him for 203, and then I turned around and traded Brian Quick and 202 for Will Fuller, Matt Forte. And if you remember, Matt Forte was coming into potentially being a starter with the Jets at that point. So that was pretty interesting. I actually then gave Tyler Eifert for Danny Woodhead and Michael Crabtree. Michael Crabtree actually had some success as well. Danny Woodhead, I believe, got hurt that year. But that was a good pivot play off of Eifert's. Eifert had a good season the year before. So I actually have to be able to pivot to a couple guys I really liked in situational roles. I mean, I had Ebron too, so I actually had some depth at tight end. In that class, I was able to actually do some pretty good damage in the rookie draft. I made one other trade. So the 101, the first round pick that I actually acquired in that trade for the JHI trade ended up being the 101. So I ended up trading 106 for 206 and the 101 the next year. I took that 101 because I had 102 as well. I took 101 and traded 101 for Russell Wilson and 103. So I basically moved back essentially one slot because I own the slot in between, and picked up Russell Wilson. So he's been my franchise quarterback since then. So that was nice. And I actually had Goff as well. He had that disappointing rookie season, obviously still had him, and I didn't have much else at quarterback. So I was able to really fix something there without much of a move down. Leonard Fournette went number one in that draft, which was fine. I took Corey Davis, who was my 101 in that class. I took him at two, took Mixon at three, tried aggressively to move up, couldn't do it. I ended up getting Kamara at 111 and really attacked that, trying to move up pretty aggressively. And then 204, which was the pick that I acquired the Terrence West trade, actually ends up being Evan Ingram. So I go Corey Davis, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Evan Ingram. So some pretty franchise-changing acquisitions there in that class. So pretty excited about that, as well as the Russell Wilson addition. So I got a bunch of core guys in that class. Things really turned around. So that was good. I made some good trades as well. I ended up giving Will Fuller for Derrick Henry in season, which was nice. And I gave Damian Williams for Doug Martin, who ended up having some production there in that season as well. So in the 2017 season, I actually was able to go. And I'm just looking at some of the comments there. It's pretty funny. I was actually able to go 9-4, finished with basically the second or third most points in the league. So again, I took a really big step forward. A lot of that was helped by Mixon and Alvin Kamara for sure. The acquisition of Russell Wilson for certainly helped. I ended up losing in the first round of the playoffs. I laid a dud in week 14. I look back, it was just a huge dud. Lowest scoring week of anyone in the playoffs, actually. So that was certainly disappointing performance there. But again, I had turned it around, was looking at a much more positive track at that point, and pretty optimistic going forward about what I could potentially do in the dynasty space with key contributors from Russell Wilson. You know, Corey Davis still had some promise at that point too. Mixon, Evan Ingram, right? I was building out a pretty solid core to go along with Mike Evans and Brandon Cooks. After the 2017 season, I actually was able to make two trades, which helped me pretty significantly. I was able to trade Jared Goff, Alex Collins, who at that point was a starter, Corey Coleman, who at that point hadn't totally fallen off the radar yet, and my first, which was 107, and I returned Demaryius Thomas, who at that point still had some viability, for the 101, and that would have been in the 2018 class. That was Saquon Barkley. So made a huge trade up. That was really, really early in the calendar, and I basically got ahead of the guy understanding who Saquon Barkley was. So that was pretty nice. Again, I was just piling assets on top of each other. And at that point, Jared Goff had a pretty good season, looked like a bounce back candidate going forward. So that was a pretty solid trade for me in terms of getting some franchise changing upside. So actually also able to take Tyler Lockett in my third and get a second in the 2018 class. So turn into the 2018 class. I'm totally loaded up, ready to go. And, you know, that Lockett trade, probably a mistake ultimately in terms of, you know, I could have held, you know, disappointing there that I didn't, honestly, probably could have held and had, you know, some more production than I ended up getting in that second round. The Barkley deal, very, very helpful in terms of being a big time asset for me. Was able to get, up and take Kalen Ballage in the second. Obviously that one didn't turn out that well. And the pick that I traded up with, I took Baker Mayfield to sort of fill in the back end of my quarterback room. Took Josh Rosen really late just as a potential. They had a taxi squad in this, so it actually made some sense to try and find stash guys. And again, I'm taking a top 10 quarterback in the late fourth round of rookie draft. Totally do that over again. Some guys that I would have missed on in this class would have included, you know, I passed on Hayden Hurst, for example, in the second. You know, should I have done that? It would have been an interesting thing instead of taking Ballage. Passed on Dallas Goedert as well. Passed on Mark Andrews as well. So that's definitely a hole that I missed on. And this was pre-being totally all over some of the backup running backs as well. And this was really kind of missing some of the, you know, some of my, what I would consider like tenants now. So again, taking day two tight ends in round three is a pretty lucrative process. As you'll notice here with Goddard and Mark Andrews, notably in this range, Chase Edmonds also in this range, the rookie DJ Shark, late third round that class. So yeah, there's plenty of opportunities. Again, I ended up getting Rosen. Should have taken Josh Allen, who went four picks later. That would have been pretty nice. But yeah, I mean, you just look at some of these things. Some of the rules continue to hold, and this is sort of where the history comes from. You take day two, you take first round tight ends and day two tight ends in round three, and you take, you know, if you're playing one quarterback, you take top 10 first round quarterbacks in the fourth round, right? Those things had pretty asymmetric bets in terms of Goddard and Mark Andrews paying off, and then Josh Allen as well. So, and when you look at some of the other comps in that range, I mean, just the guys that are going in there, Marcel Aitman, Chris Warren goes in there, Mark Walton, you know, John Kelly, Antonio Callaway, Traquan Smith, just the all the other positions, and then you get basically quarterback and tight end. It's not super sexy, but that's what happens. So So that season ended up turning out really well for me. I go 11-2. I posted 165 total points. That was actually third in the league. So there was a couple of, at this point, things were getting pretty condensed up at the top with three really elite teams that year. I earn a bye, had the second best all-play record, earn a bye, and win a championship. That championship was largely fueled by Russell Wilson's performance in the finals. A huge game down that stretch that year to really vault me into really vault me up into the elite echelon there. I ended up winning. If memory serves, there was like a late touchdown from him to Doug Baldwin that actually put me over the top. I won by less than 5 points, and that was the deciding factor. So big win there. Again, after a bad startup, it took me a couple of years to get it righted, but a couple of good deals, being really aggressive in the trade market, constantly trying to churn things over. The same rules apply. Trade running backs that look a lot alike and get picks added. That's successful. Trading situations, Jay Ajayi for picks. Trading down, acquiring more picks. Right? Those things can really, really turn out. Those future assets, it might take time. It might take, there might be pain involved, but it's pretty, pretty valuable. So into the 2019 season, I actually had, again, this is stuff that I just continue to do. I just continue to do the same types of strategies. So in the 2019 season, I actually only made one trade, which is pretty surprising considering I'm pretty aggressive in the trade market generally in a lot of my leagues. And so I made only one trade in the 2018 season. I only made one trade. It was Peyton Barber in August. I traded him in my second for a future first, and that future first ended up being really high. So it ends up being 102. So that's 102 in the 2019 class. So again, those things are pretty helpful when those things happen. Didn't cash in, unfortunately. I traded Damian Williams, Robert Foster, 102 for Kerryon Johnson, 203, and a future second. So that was one of the disappointing trades that I made. That was actually, that was pre-rookie draft, obviously. So that was a disappointing one in terms of how I did that. But again, I sort of look back and I look at that and could I have done differently? Well, it ended up being David Montgomery ended up being the pick, so I would have much rather had the pick. Probably wouldn't have taken him there. My play, if it wasn't Jacobs, was to move out of there. Could I have sort of matriculated my way down the board? Probably. That would probably have been how I would have done it. But ultimately, I took who I thought would have been the second best player in that draft, or potentially the first. The best player in that draft, who Kerryon Johnson. I thought he potentially ahead of Josh Jacobs at that point. Again, that was pre me being in on some of the running back profiles. I sort of look at these things. I look at the decisions that I see, some of the growth that we did and the inefficiencies that I wasn't exploiting. I was exploiting some of them, but not all of them. And we're still looking for them. But that's a classic one of, I would have rather added a 102 to get to 101 and take Jacobs than have gone otherwise. But and maybe I would have been better off sitting and taking David Montgomery. Although, if you sort of look at this as an arbitrage, just take the players out of it for a second and just use – and that was pre-Damian Williams breakout too. If you had just done basically Kerryon Johnson and Kerryon, actually that was post Damian Williams. I'm sorry. That was post Damian Williams breakout. So if you had set him aside for a second, the trade is basically 102 for Kerryon Johnson, 203 at a future second. So again, sort of arbitraging those things. You couldn't get a full first out of Damian Williams. Maybe something like the 203 in that class. You get the future second from Kerryon Johnson. It's the move down. That's sort of the way it went together. I was selling the Damian Williams stock and really trying to pick up on Kerryon Johnson. Could I have done better? Probably. Should I have done better? Probably. But that was sort of the calculus as I look back on it. Another trade I made that ended up being helpful, hurtful, I don't know. It hurts. It's pretty painful as I look at it right now. I gave up Derrick Henry, who at that point hadn't fully broken out, and George Kittle, who at that point had flashed a little bit, but wasn't really, and I had Evan Ingram. at that point. So I traded them for Julio Jones. So again, I went from basically two kind of what I thought at that point were middling assets to one super elite guy to sort of be in there as my wide receiver two, you know, 1-2 to go along with Evans and Cooks. Ultimately, it was disappointing. You know, maybe if I had kept Lockett and not made that other bad deal, I wouldn't have made this trap pick, trade there for Julio. But again, I at the time, you know, Julio's helped funnel me into another championship. So yeah, that would have been the play. All right. So in this class, I ended up taking Damian Harris at 112 of that class. I ended up taking Alexander Mattison at 203. That was part of a trade. That I had made along the way to accumulate in that Kerryon Johnson trade. So it ended up being basically Kerryon Johnson and Alexander Mattison of what I returned in that trade. Again, thinking about arbitrage opportunities, I was trying to arbitrage him and David Montgomery. Ultimately, and again, that has turned out not to be the right play ultimately, but I was basically taking two shots instead of one in my mind's eye. So that's essentially how it turned out. This season ended up being a little bit of a a little bit disappointing. Ultimately, I ended up finishing at 7-6, kind of middle of the pack ish. And ended up getting into the playoffs, and went all the way up to, losing in the first round with the worst score. So a disappointing defense of my championship for sure. But again, at this point I'm looking pretty good, right? I got Julio, I've got the running back core that ends up being pretty stout, pretty robust, and heading in a very positive direction, right? At this point, I've got basically Mattison and Harris as running backs. Kerryon Johnson's basically a four behind Barkley, Mixon, and Kamara, with Julio and Mike Evans, Russell Wilson, Brandon Cooks all in there as well. So missed opportunities abound, but plenty of successes as well, and I had a championship at this point. So heading to 2020 with, again, one extra pick under my belt. That was a second rounder. Again, there's one guy that I constantly was trading for his future picks. That is a theme that happened over and over and over again. Was able to fleece him is not the right word, but take advantage of him for sure is the right word. Was able to, in this class, I was actually able to pull off some arbitrage too. So I was pretty happy about this. I had a thought that I was pretty agnostic on wide receiver if it wasn't Rager. So at 107, and this is in the 2020 draft, I ended up getting Jerry Jeudy. And at that point, I'm like, all right, like it's okay. Like I tried to trade down, didn't really get the chance to trade down. It didn't work. It was on the clock. It didn't end up working out. So I ended up trading. I ended up making the pick for Jeudy. And then ultimately I got the opportunity to trade down. Someone offered me what I was trying to do initially. He ended up offering me after I took Jeudy. So he gave me 109 and a future second, which would be in the 2021 class. And I gave up Jeudy, and I ended up taking Justin Jefferson with that pick. I also, in this class, tried to try and shore up some of the running back depth. Wasn't really super keen on what was going on in some of the second round stuff when I ended up getting there. So to give you an idea sort of what I was facing, that was actually post A.J. Dillon had already been taken. Antonio Gibson had already been taken. So I was basically looking at like Darrington Evans, Joshua Kelly. It was a tear break after essentially Ayuk was gone. Everyone was essentially gone. So I packaged the two picks, and which would have been 207 and 208, one of them my own, the other one that I acquired in the trade that I had made that I mentioned before. and I turned them into Devin Singletary, and I got a fourth back. The fourth ended up being, I ended up taking DeAndre Washington, who was actually available, and I was hoping to get him as a potential, injury away guy. So that kind of was a whiff, although I sort of look at that, and I think the bet probably was right. I don't know who I would have taken otherwise. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I would have taken Cole Kmet. I'm not sure who I would have taken there. As I look back on it, there was basically, it was after my tier break, and Kmet was probably my pivot. I ended up getting him in the third round anyways. So I took the shot on Singletary, and it ended up being basically you package those two middle seconds. It's like a late first type valuation on what was a starting running back. And in an offense that I thought was going to be better, and it ended up being better, it just didn't end up paying off. So that was, I could go back and forth on what the right play there was. Maybe the right play was to trade up, to get some of my guys up above where they went. The problem is I just couldn't do it, right? I mean, the people in there was, I'm just looking back on it, like Ayuk was in there and he was an auto pick. And, the picks went really quick. And I know actually Chad Parsons is in this league, and he took AJ Dillon, so I'm not trading with him, And so he took Antonio Gibson as well, and I wasn't taking him, and he wasn't trading with me. So it was tough to, there wasn't really the target player to get there. So that was sort of the Singletary story. So sometimes these things have backstories, and it's important to sort of know. And that's kind of how it all turned out. So, yeah. So again, I sort of hammered on this league thinking, hey, I could be a potential contender again. Listen, people don't like the one quarterback, be aggressive with the one quarterback thing. I get why, but one quarterback can, if you have an elite quarterback, you can really drive your team. And so it is potentially pretty valuable. And it was for me. It allowed me to trade Goff. It allowed me to sort of do some other things that I was able to really deal from strength at a couple of key points and really use Russell Wilson as a leverage point to whoop up on people, honestly. I mean, that's I was able to ride him at critical points. So in this year, I actually get into the bye spot. I am the two seed, finished 10-3, was the basically like the third person in terms of all play, posted a really good number in terms of points, ended up getting a bye and get all the way up into the championship with a big performance in week 15, and then I put down a huge number in week 16 and won a championship. So again, this is 2 out of 3, and you just sort of look at it, and it's, now that the team has changed. So I'll just sort of go through what my roster looks like now and sort of some of the things I'm thinking about, and, maybe I have to pay going forward, and, maybe I will have to, I'll struggle a little bit at some key points, but, you'll kind of see sort of what I've been doing and how this has sort of worked out. And again, the Julio thing, right? Like that paid for itself ultimately. Would Derrick Henry and Kittle have been nice? Yeah, for sure. But Julio ends up helping me win a championship along the line, and I end up backfilling with Justin Jefferson. So, and this is the thing that I'd say about like people that are kind of anti-analytics of Dynasty. Like, they don't really understand what we're doing. And a lot of it is, hey, let's figure out a way to make the same bet for cheaper price and get assets on top of it. Which is something I just continuously did. Right. I'll trade two running backs that look a lot alike for a future second. Right. I'll trade my first now that I don't really love all that much for a second, which I don't think is all that different, and I'll trade him and I'll grab a future first because that's got high opportunity. And it turns into being 101. Right. And you do that a couple of times, you're like, okay, like that's a massively changing franchise thing. You get lucky and you hit on Kamara where you did, as you tried like hell to get up to take him. You couldn't get up. And ultimately he falls to you. Like, those things can really, really change. And so here I am, I'm sitting and I've got, I do like to carry second quarterback if I can. And I do think if the player is good in particular, like it protects your floor a little bit. And it allows you to make a trade too. You're not going from, hey, I could trade Russell Wilson for player X, but then I have to start, you know, I don't know, like Sam Darnold, right? That sucks. So I have been carrying Baker Mayfield. Again, I don't, he's not difference making, but he allows me some flexibility. And again, if I'm just going to take, you know, Malcolm Brown instead, right, I might as well just take Baker. It's sort of one of the thoughts that I've had. I've been thinking more about that strategy and really trying to shore up that running, that quarterback too, if I can, for cheap. And just kind of backfilling in rookie drafts really does help. So I was a big one quarterback in one quarterback leagues for a while, and I've kind of moved away from that gradually. And I really try and use that spot as a chance to cycle through some upside, especially with some of the younger guys. When you can get them later in drafts, they do have flip potential, which is something I don't think people necessarily are entirely on. So sort of look down the roster. Again, now I did all those wide receivers, what I drafted 9 of them. Now I'm rocking basically 5. So it's Brandon Cooks, Corey Davis, Mike Evans, Justin Jefferson, and Julio Jones. One thing you'll notice from my teams is, yeah, I did a lot of trading. And when you went back, like, was I half the trades? Yes. But a lot of it wasn't core players. And a lot of it's tinkering around the edges. So you notice I still have Mike Evans. I still have Brandon Cooks from my startup draft. I made that trade for Russell Wilson like 4 years ago. I still have him. I drafted Kamara in a rookie draft. I drafted, drafted Mixon in a rookie draft. I still have them. Drafted Barkley in a rookie draft. I still have them. Ingram in a rookie draft. I still have him. So you sort of look at these and I sort of build through, let's make tinkering trades and let them sort of compound off one another, right? That Ajayi trade is enormous, right? That Ajayi trade, ultimately I trade Ajayi for 106, and that turns into being, Russell Wilson and Joe Mixon. That's an enormous trade. And again, I'm playing kind of the patience game, and people don't want to, you know, people will knock the, oh, you got to trade for future assets, and you're just constantly kicking the can. Those things can turn out disproportionately well. And that would be the thing, especially when you sort of do it selectively and do it right and think about who you're trading with. And hey, this guy constantly sucks because he's constantly making bad decisions. He's constantly making bad trades with me. Like, yeah, let's bet against him. Right, that's kind of what it is. So I look at the roster now, and at this point, like, I do have some issues. I will be honest, I do have some issues. And again, is it like, this is kind of first world problems? Like, I've got Russell Wilson, that's fine. I've got Kamara, I've got Barkley, I've got Mixon. So it's kind of a weak running back 3, honestly. So then I look at it, and I've got, It's an above average running back 3. I shouldn't bang on Mixon too much, but it's not super exciting, right? I missed on Kerryon. I got Damian Harris, who's kind of sitting there. You're like, I've got Madison. I'm sitting there. I'm just kind of like, he's a handcuff. I've got Singletary. This league has gotten, you know, like I said, there's a couple of, there's Chads in this league, and then there's some UT. I think there's another UTH or two. Some of the running back stuff gets tough in the back end. Like, you gotta kind of grind for it. So I have like Devonta Booker, for example. I got Malcolm Brown. I had Deion Lewis for a period too. So I'm kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of some of the running backs. It's tough to get to them all, just because there's other competitors for it. But the wide receiver core is pretty nice. Again, at this point, like, I kind of look at this thing and I could go a couple of ways. It's like, all right, I got Julio. He's kind of aging. I've got Mike Evans. He's kind of aging. He's got Brandon Cooks. He's kind of aging. But I backfilled in with Justin Jefferson. And so now you sort of slide Justin Jefferson on the top end of that pecking order, and it's like, all right, like, I've got Mike Evans as a wide receiver 2, I got Julio as wide receiver 3, I got Brandon Cooks as wide receiver 4. It's a lot of good options there. So, and then tight end position, again, I've added, I actually picked up Mike Gesicki off waiver wires. I didn't mention that. I picked him off of waiver wires at a point. And I mean, it was like someone cut him. I was like, I got to just take the reclamation project. It was like early in his second year. I was like, I'll just take a shot, right? And he's turned out really well for me. And so he was actually starting for me this year. Again, I've got him and Ingram. I have Kmet. So I've got a situation. I got to figure out a way to deal from strength. And, you know, maybe that's, we'll sort of see how that all unfolds. Maybe that's to try and address the running back position. Maybe that's to try and address, some help at wide receiver. Ultimately, I do think that the issue for me, in particular in this draft, is going to be trying to figure out a way to infuse some running back depth on my team. And that's really going to be the key for me going forward. Again, I'm not necessarily saying that Kamara, Mixon, and Barkley are going to fall off the radar, but they are hitting their mid-20s. And again, instead of trading them, I sort of have to be constantly taking shots at next opportunities, right? Constantly taking shots if it's pedigree where they fall. And one of the things about this, and this is why when you have good process over and over again, and I didn't, right? I was bad. This was a bad start. You don't want to do how I started. You don't want to live through that. It sucks. But what I have done is had good process in terms of constantly being ahead on picks, having that flexibility. And that, again, allows me to sort of trade down and do it over and over again. And you're just getting more, you're getting upside shots and upside shots, and just figuring out a way to keep doing that. And when your team is good, you have no pressure for that to happen immediately. So I can take delayed gratification shots. So if that was taking Madison, if that was taking Harris, right? And again, maybe Harris doesn't turn out to be what I had hoped. That's fine. I took him in, the late first round. Those things happen, right? That's not a guaranteed hit rate. That's not a must hit. That's a difference making if he does hit type of situation. That's a big thing that it allows you to, if you're patient, and then you get good, it allows you to keep having those good processes and not forcing the issue. What really sucks is when you're not good and you're sort of forcing yourself into making these, I got to fix it type trades. If you notice, I never tried to fix it. I just tried to make good trades. And maybe some of that was stupidity. There's no doubt about that. I made some errors early on, but just constantly making these good trades and selling situations to people for better assets, right? For some of the delayed gratification. And ultimately that worked out. Did I have to go into a 76ers style rebuild? No, but I did have to take some of the pain and some of the misses along the way. Had I taken some of those rookie picks instead of making them 75% wide receivers, made them 50% running backs, would there have been more opportunity? Would I have taken Derrick Henry? Would I have been more patient with Derrick Henry? Maybe. That's really what I'm thinking about now is trying to sustain this. And that's not to, mortgage my players mortgage my assets for win now type players, but it's really thinking about, all right, like how do I sort of backfill and how do I sort of get more opportunities down the line? And maybe the situation for me in this class, for example, isn't to try and hit a home run at 112. It might be to move back to later in the second round, fill in another asset and get a future first. And if I do that, maybe that future first turns out to be a top six pick. Maybe it turns out to be a top three pick, and then I got a really good asset. And then heck, maybe it's not a great class, but I do it again, right? And I can continue to do that, sort of looking for that way. And so one of the things I think is when you get to be a contender, it isn't necessarily pushing all your chips into being this win now team, so that way you're getting you're pushing your chips in to get a situational running back with a future first. It can be, hey, let's manage a different situational running back. Right? Let's take a shot on a handcuff and kick the can for the pick in the future, because hey, I can use that pick in season if I want. I can take that player and I can take that pick and address a need when I need to. Right? I constantly have that, and I'm not playing on credit, I'm paying on savings. That's one of the things that I think is really helpful. And so when you get ahead of the game like I am right now, that's the thing. I don't want to play on credit. I want to play on savings. And so using those picks wisely, frugally, honestly, and with some intention is really the thing. So I'm looking to, as I sit here with this class, I have two later seconds. I've got a first I've got 112 and I've got my third and my fourth. So again, maybe it is a situation where I can sort of get up to the top of the class, you know, maybe next year, right? And I sort of can slide back, you know, figure out a way to make a deal to get future picks. I think there'll be buyers for that in this league, for example, and figure out a way to constantly do that. So that's one of the things I think when you get to this point, again, you're embracing variance isn't necessarily spending your pick on a player that can get you running back to production. It's spending the pick on a player that can situationally get you running back to production. And maybe it's a short sample size, but also getting a shot at a really high-end asset going forward. And if you sort of look, the Jeudy for Justin Jefferson in a second, right, that's 210. So it didn't turn out to be a great pick, but that's another asset that I have. And again, I was taking two random shots and I said, all right, I'll take a random shot, which was between Justin Jefferson and Jerry Jeudy. I will take that and get a future pick. Again, just doing that over and over again, that is how I made this team. That is essentially how I made this team, along with a couple of select options of, you know, the Barkley trade worked out for me as well. But that's one of the things. Again, the Russell Wilson trade is the same thing, right? Hey, I don't think there's that much difference between like 101 in that class, especially in 103, especially when I control 102. So I can sort of do that. Hey, I'm getting a stud quarterback. I'm just basically arbitraging those two players. And I think there's a huge difference and do it. You know, should I take a McCaffrey there? Absolutely. You know, absolutely. I screwed that pick up. You know, Mixon has helped. And could it have been better? For sure. I could have taken Dalvin Cook too. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, right, those are the things that as I sat there and did it, I thought Mixon's not that far off from where Fournette was. And I, you know, or Corey Davis for that matter at 102. And I could say, hey, listen, I'll get the quarterback along with a running back, similar to the one that I projected coming in. So yeah. And again, in hindsight, that should have been McCaffrey. Like that's a clear process error. It's a clear process error. I should have taken McCaffrey over Mixon. It's inexcusable in hindsight. You know, with what we know now, I should have never done that. You know, just from a profile perspective, that's just a horrible error. But it turned out to be, you know, it turned out okay. And it's, you know, picking a running back in that class was like, it was tough to screw it up. And you know, Mixon has helped, right? Like let's not kid ourselves. He's been good. He just hasn't been that elite. But again, that's why when you take two shots, that's the key thing, right? When you take one shot, Fournette at 101, right? That has a very limited range of outcomes. When you take two of them, you take Joe Mixon and Russell Wilson, right? That has much higher upside, and you know you have more outs in terms of not hitting a dud. So when you get those opportunities, you know those are really interesting things. And people don't like to trade for quarterbacks and start one. I actually think that there's value in it, and you know I think this is a good example of how. So. All right, well, that'll do it for this strategy thing. Again, this is a deeper dive. I like to do these like once a week and try and take teams that are in different varieties. This is a formative team for me. Right? This is a team that I think about a lot in terms of how I built this team and how I screwed it up. Like I was pretty bad. And this is early on in my dynasty career. This might have been like startup 3 or something like that for me, startup 4 maybe. You know, and I sort of look at that. And that year, I actually drafted another team right before that. I drafted basically two startups right in a row, and I did the same nonsense in the other one, and I have turned that team into being a perennial champion. I think I've won 3 titles in that league. And again, when people say deep rebuilds, right, this took me, honestly, once I started getting my stuff together, it took me like 18 months to really like put it together and really get building in a right way. So just keep that in mind. Like it's constantly having good process, and then you know you need things to break your way, yeah, but you also can do it you know wisely and sort of get on the right track, I think, quicker than people will give you credit for. So that's sort of the way I did it. So all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.